Town, Cleveland, Ohio. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more on the story.
The FBI says it started getting reports a year ago that the man was making statements in support of Al-Qaeda.
Facebook posts, quite frankly, were disturbing.
FBI Special Agent Stephen Anthony says the suspect is a U.S. citizen named Demetrius Pitts.
As he was expressed a willingness to conduct a U.S.-based attack.
They say Pitts was arrested after the undercover investigation had him walking downtown Cleveland streets, conducting reconnaissance on what he thought would be a large-scale attack on the 4th of July. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Coffee drinkers take note. Coffee and a longer life are linked once again. That's according to a study done on nearly a half a million British adults. The study showed that coffee drinkers have a lower risk of death over a 10-year period than those who abstain from coffee, even those heavy coffee drinkers who drink over more than 8 cups a day. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of 4, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1-ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Roseanne Barr spoke up for the first time since her TV show Roseanne was canceled in May after she made some controversial remarks on Twitter. In the podcast interview, she did say she planned on reaching out to Valerie Jarrett.
It's once again about right words, and you've got to do a lot of meditating and praying for the right words, and I just don't know what the right words would be.
Barr also said she feels bad for the people that were affected by the cancellation of the show.
I was, you know, very upset about hurting things that I care about and hurting people that I care about. I wanted Jaden specifically to have her job because I love her, and I did not want her to suffer because of me.
And regarding ABC starting a spinoff of the show without her and her not receiving any compensation?
Not signing off of my own life's work and asking for nothing in return. I thought that was a penance just to step away for that because, you know, that is penance and, you know, put a lot of thought into it. Of course, I feel terrible.
A SpaceX shipment has arrived at the International Space Station with berries, ice cream, and mice, and the first orbiting robot with artificial intelligence. The Dragon capsule reached the station Monday, 3 days after launching from Florida. Station astronauts used a large mechanical arm to grab the Dragon. There's also some super caffeinated coffee aboard the Dragon as well. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Weather this afternoon, mostly sunny and hot with a high near 97. Heat index values as high as 102. South wind around 7 miles per hour. Tonight, patchy fog after midnight, otherwise mostly clear with a low around 72, light southeast wind. Tuesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 95. Heat index values as high as 104. Calm wind becoming southwest around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 30%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Tuesday night, more scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m. Patchy fog after 2 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 72. Calm wind, chance of precipitation is 30%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Independence Day, scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Watch out, barbecue. Patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 90. Calm wind becoming south around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 30%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is the award-winning show sponsored by NAMI. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no work out of our homes, no paid staff. And I've been told the traffic jams are a lot less when you work out of your house, so that's a good thing. And what we do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or know someone or work with someone or is best friends with someone who have a mental health issue. And we also try to help the person who has a mental health issue if they come to us, and we try to get them the service that they need. And everything we do is free. There's no charge for anything. We have a 12-week course called Family to Family, where all the equipment and binders and papers and everything is all free. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to join, and all you have to do is sign up for it. And they're held twice a year, and they're advertised in the paper and so on and so forth, and or you can, you know, reach out to us. We also run a support group the third Thursday of every month, and it's at 52 East Main Street. And there again, you don't have to be a member of NAMI to join. You can just come, and there's no registration or anything like that. If you need some more information or, you know, about what we do or some of the courses we do or some of the classes we teach, you can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man the phone 24/7, but we do have a wonderful woman who checks it twice a day, and we promise you we will get back to you as soon as possible. We are very privileged today to have with us a wonderful woman, and I'm going to turn it over to my co-partner there, Tracy, and she can introduce our guest.
Great. We're very happy to have Barbara Steingass. Barbara is an author, a radiant life coach, a spiritual healer, and motivational speaker. She is also has been a physical therapist for more than 30 years, and she speaks about the connection between mind, body, and spirit, emphasizing how the harmony among these positively impacts our ability to recover from trauma and live a healthy life. She is the author of, is it 13 books? Five books, okay. Amazon was duplicating some. The latest of which is Solving the Grief and Loss Puzzle, Piecing Together Your New Normal Life. Barbara, let's start out. We're going to talk about trauma today. Let's talk about the trauma that you experienced. Tell us about your losses.
Sure. And thank you, Tracy and Larry, for having me today. So 10 years ago, I lost my late husband to a heart attack. I had found him in our bed. And I didn't realize it at first, but after going through the grief process of losing him, I realized, looking back, that I had had post-traumatic stress disorder because I could not sleep. I could function during the day, but I could not get to unwind at night. Right. It was like I was on 24/7 adrenaline, and I had to take a pill to go to sleep, and I really didn't want to have to take a pill. I never really had trouble sleeping. My mother said she didn't even know my eye color for 3 days when I was born because I slept so much, so this was unusual. And I did counseling from where I work. They offer 10 counseling sessions, and that helped me, but again, it didn't help me get off the medicine to go to sleep at night. So she said at the end of those 10, I could either continue at a copay or I could go to a psychiatrist, because she doesn't deal with the medications. So she had me go see a psychiatrist, and he gave me a different pill. But that wasn't really the point. I didn't want to go from one pill to another. But at least this pill got me yawning. I realized I hadn't even been yawning since my husband passed. You know, he passed in April. This was like November, December, I think. And so, but he did try to do some biofeedback. And as a side story to all this, before my husband passed, the medium on TV, John Edwards,
yes,
not the politician, the
right,
medium, he had had a show on, and we kind of checked it out because he's from Long Island, and my late husband had a sister in Long Island. He says, "Do you think this stuff is real, like that he's doing?" I said, "I don't really know. I can't speak to that. It'd be nice if it was something that was real, that you could communicate with people after they pass." So after my husband passed, I was kind of thinking about this, and there was a woman that advertised in The Observer, our local free newspaper, that was here in Flemington, and she was a medium, and I kept thinking, should I go to her? I don't know. I'm not sure. And then John Edwards was actually having a presentation in Long Island at the Coliseum, so I went with my sister-in-law, and after that I felt like, it can't hurt. Let me just try it. You never know what's going to help you, or, you know. And so the next Observer I got, she wasn't advertising anymore. I was like, oh, no. So I went to my recycling, and I found one, but it was all wet. And I pried it open, and wouldn't you know, her ad was dry as a bone. I saw as a sign, like, okay, I got to check this out. So I finally got an appointment with her. I had to wait a while because she had gotten so busy. That's why she wasn't advertising anymore, because she was getting so popular with word of mouth for all the good work she was doing. And all the beautiful things that were just said to me through her from my husband, it just healed me. It just gave me reassurance. Mm-hmm. You know, it helps you let go of that guilt,
mm-hmm,
you know, that shoulda, woulda, coulda, that mm-hmm we tend to have mm-hmm in life in general, but especially after someone passes, like, what could I have done differently? What, you know, and we kind of beat ourselves up thinking, you know, that we have control over it when really, you know, we don't really have control of who, when it's someone's time to go. That I came home and I slept like a baby, and I never had to take a pill since.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and then 4 years ago, it was 3 years after I my husband passed, that I was with another man for 3 years, and 4 years ago, he crossed over to the other side. So had to go through it again.
Mm.
You know, the grief and the trauma, mm-hmm, and that's how I came to write this book.
Right.
Because I want to help other people come out of the darkness into the light. Because we grieve over many things, not just the loss of someone through a death. I've had someone reach out to me because they had to give up a family home. That's a loss.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Lost their job or something.
Yeah, lost their job.
Right. You know.
Lost a good friend.
Right.
You know, friends
right
kind of
sure
come and go.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things. And I, as a physical therapist, I work with people that actually, unfortunately, have to lose body limbs. You know, limbs from like an amputation through diabetes or something. So we grieve in a lot of different ways. You know, my first car was in an accident. I had to grieve over that. My dad said, "This is not a crying matter," but to me it was. I wasn't depressed about it, but I had to grieve the loss of my first car that I had purchased. And we need to. We can't. A lot of times we think, "Oh, this is, I shouldn't be upset over this," and we tuck it under the rug, and that's when more problems develop.
Right,
we get
right
more diseased, if you will, if we don't address things when they happen.
How do you, well, he says you speak to the connection between mind, body, and spirit. How does that work?
Well, I feel that through anything we go through, we have to nourish all four quadrants of ourselves, our physical aspect, our mental, emotional, and our spiritual. And that's how I found my way back to health. First, from when I had an incurable disease, Crohn's disease. And then I applied that model to going through grief. And my book shares the top 7 body, mind, emotional, and spiritual strategies, respectively, so 21 strategies in all, on how we can move through things. Because if we don't take care of ourselves physically, we're going to be more stressed, and we won't be able to deal with the actual root cause of why we're diseased, you know, our emotions, our thoughts, and the spiritual mm-hmm aspect. Because after George died, I was like Darth Vader for 3 days. I was so angry at God. I was like, "You put me through the Crohn's, got over that, then Bob, my late husband, and now this." It was just too much at that
unfair
moment.
Yeah.
You
yeah
know? And I know yeah people go through worse things in life, but in the moment, that was really overwhelming, and I just couldn't handle it, and I was like, "I don't want to know you anymore. Have a nice life. Leave me alone."
But, you know, people have different aspects. You know, what could be a tremendous crisis to someone else, maybe, you know, if it happened to somebody else, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody is different that
of
way.
Of course.
You know, and now the loss of someone you love, not only once but twice, that's got to take an effect. I don't care who it is, you know?
Right.
You know, so that has to be, you know.
And that's why, I mean, I was angry the first time when Bob passed, and a funny story that helped me realize that it's okay to be angry at God, you know, if you believe in God. And not to get religious on people, just
no,
sharing
but, yeah.
what, you know, happened to me. I had gone through a bereavement program, and I was very interactive with it, but they would give us homework, and I really didn't do that, like the papers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the assignments they did, and one night I was sitting at home by myself, and they were all piled in a basket, like for future maybe use or reference. So I said, you know, let me take a look at this. So I got to the exercise on anger. And I wasn't in anger anymore, but I was writing it as if I was in real time, and I wanted to write who I was angry at, and I wanted to write Bob and God, and it came out Gob.
Good old Gob. He'll get you every time.
So then I knew that it was okay.
Right.
That they forgave me, and I forgave them.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's just part of the grief process. You have to feel the anger in order to move past it and through it. You know,
exactly.
If we don't, then it'll really explode like a volcano.
Right.
And
right.
Same when George passed, I was even more angry, and I thought I would be angry for a long time. That's how I felt. But I let myself feel it so rawly and so intensely that after 3 days, it just lifted off my heart.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, God, I'm back from my temper tantrum. And looking back, I like to think of the poem Footprints in the Sand,
right.
where when you only see one footprint, that God's carrying you. Through
right.
those tough times.
I have a picture of the sand with the footprints, and it says footprints in the sand. And
yeah.
So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Because
yeah. you know?
Whether you believe in God or something else, you have to believe in something outside of yourself from a spiritual aspect, I feel, to get through challenges and trauma
mm-hmm.
in life. Because the harsh reality of the human existence can be so overwhelming sometimes that you have to be able to cling on to
right.
something outside of that.
Right. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first, We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hello, this is Tracy Ivey of Mental Health Matters. We're back with Barbara Steingass, who is talking about loss and grief and her new book, Solving the Grief and Loss Puzzle. I love the subhead, Piecing Together Your New Normal Life. Let's talk about getting to your normal life. How did you cope with some of your losses? What were the strategies you used?
Well, I already talked about how I, you know, helped myself sleep, because sleep is, you know, loss is the number one thing that affects us.
Sure.
Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. They find even a short amount of time that you lose sleep, it can really have some damaging effects and can create more stress in your life. It becomes like this vicious cycle, like the hamster wheel that you can't get off of. And what I didn't know in the beginning is there are some natural things that you can use to help you sleep instead of having to use a pharmaceutical pill like I did. But different things work for different people.
Right.
So in my
right.
book, I give some suggestions of where to look for that. And also, just moving around, you know, helps our bodies. You know, when we're set, have a loss, it's easy to feel sad and depressed and not want to get out of bed in the morning. So just by moving, you change the chemistry in your body. They've done studies that just by having people that are depressed smile rather than frown, they started to feel better because it changed the chemicals in their brain. Their brain starts sending out, you know, the happy hormones rather than the sad hormones, you know, like endorphins, like natural painkillers. So it's amazing when we start to move, and it can help you release energy too and emotions. So if you're feeling stuck in anger or sadness, if you do something to move, it can help you, like even taking a walk in the woods or on the beach, you know, to get you out in nature. That has a calming, soothing effect, I find, for most people. To do that and get you kind of out of your head. It can almost be like a meditation. So those are some strategies for the physical part. And then the mental and emotional for this book, I just went through the seven stages of grief. Now, some people say there's five,
ask you
some
that,
people
whether
there's
you did.
Seven. Mm-hmm. You know, and this doesn't mean you're going to feel all of them. And you don't go through in an order. It's not like, oh, I feel that, now I'm done with that, and I move on.
Right.
It can vary. Sometimes you don't, you know, something happens, and all of a sudden it brings up a memory that you didn't expect, and that can bring up some emotions. But it usually gets a little less intense,
right.
I find, as you go along. And if you let yourself follow, you know, process through, I should say, the emotions. So for anger, I shared just by expressing it. It allowed it to just release from me, just
exactly.
you know, letting it come
not
out
holding
and not
in.
Let it bubble up inside of me was a way to help. Writing and journaling can be very helpful to get through the emotional stages that we feel, because sometimes it's hard to put into words and express how we feel. I find especially for men, Larry, because men,
oh, yeah.
right, aren't
right.
as
no,
adept
true.
At expressing their feelings, so they're more maybe physical to
they're
help
more
them
keeping
get rid
their mouth
of it,
shut, you know.
You know, or writing, and it doesn't have to be like you're writing a book and writing elaborate sentences. Just by writing some things down and maybe tearing it up to help you, you know, get through it can be a way. And then it's okay, really, not to beat yourself up that you feel a certain way. A lot of times we want to justify, like, oh, I shouldn't, like my dad said when I hit, you know, crashed my car, this is not a crying matter. Well, you know, to me it was.
Right.
And I just, and we're trained because we don't like to see people hurting. I had a patient at the hospital on Saturday and she had broken her hip and she's young and she wants to get back to her 3-month-old. And unfortunately she had, her blood pressure was dropping, and that's common after a surgery, and it's something you can't help. You know, you can't will yourself to
right.
have,
right.
you know, better blood pressure so you don't pass out. So after I left the room to get something, I came back. She was crying to her husband. And my immediate reaction was like, oh, don't cry. But then I realized, no, I'm negating her feelings. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Mm-hmm. It's okay if you can cry. I just want to share with you that you're going to get through this,
right.
You know, that you'll be okay. It's okay to cry and feel, but you're this wasn't, you know, how it's going to be. This happens a lot to everybody. It's perfectly normal. And tomorrow you see you feel like a new person.
Right.
You know, so things like that can help us get through things.
I know, like, one time I lost my job, and that week I was so depressed. I would go out every day into the yard. We live in the woods. And I would chop firewood. And I mean, I'd swing that axe and I'd chop firewood.
Wow.
And I did it for about 5 days. And then I said to myself, you know, stupid, you got 4 kids, a mortgage, car payments. You better get back and get to work and quit chopping firewood.
Stop swinging that axe. But you needed those 4 days
but I
to
did.
Process.
Right.
That was great. You,
know, you
were doing something that was,
you know,
helping
right.
you.
I was, you know, letting out my
exactly.
anger.
That was actually a positive thing you were
yeah.
doing to help you process.
But at the time, it wasn't, you know, you weren't thinking that way.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You were just thinking somebody's, you know, your boss. Choo,
yep.
You know, you know.
But it was a healthy way to do
right.
it because you didn't
right.
like, you know, as many. It's so sad what we hear in the news today of all these people getting their grievances out by bringing a gun to
right.
the place
right.
and taking it out that way instead
right.
of chopping wood and pretending
right.
that they're doing it. Like, that's a healthier way to release the
right.
emotion. But we're not taught these things. We're not taught how to deal with our emotions, unfortunately. Our parents weren't given a manual.
No.
Their parents weren't given a manual. You know, so we get these dysfunctional ways to deal with things until maybe we have a situation that forces us to look differently. Like when I was sick with the Crohn's, I had to look at things differently in order to help heal the dis-ease
right.
that was causing part of the disease in my body. So I learned how to handle emotions better through different techniques, and that's kind of what I use in my coaching and my books and my talks to help people find their way out of the rabbit hole, so to
mm-hmm.
speak, and find their puzzle. Because we don't all have the same pieces necessarily, but we have some commonalities because there's all things basic to humans that we need physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
Right. How did you become a physical therapist?
Well, that's a good question, Larry. So I knew I wanted to do something to help people. I actually wanted to be a psychologist
okay.
at first, I thought, because I thought that would be a way that I could help people. But my dad, he was a teacher at Scotch Plains Vanwood High School, and he went to the guidance counselor department and looked up information, and he said, there's not a huge market, there's not a great job outlook for that profession at this point in time. This was back in like 1981, I was going to graduate. And so his friend was a physical his friend's wife, I'm sorry, was a physical therapist, and he thought, oh, that sounds like something that might be interesting, and you use psychology for that as well when you're dealing with patients. So he got me information on it, and I read it, and it just felt right. You know how sometimes when things just feel
mm-hmm.
right to your soul, you don't, like, question it? And it was just like, yeah, that's what I want to do. And that's how I ended
yeah.
up as a physical therapist. And I've been very passionate about it. This is my 31st year working at Overlook Medical Center in Summit.
Mm-hmm.
However, these things that I've been through, the Crohn's disease and the two men that have passed, I feel that this has become my mission and purpose in the latter part of my life here, and to transition eventually into doing this full time. I just turned 55, so, you know, I look to the future. What am I going to do as I get towards retirement? As I get towards retirement, you know, that I need to give back, because I wanted God to take me when I was deathly ill with Crohn's. It was like living the horror movie version of Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wake up, you felt horrible, you're in pain, have to try to make your way to the bathroom without passing out, and then like make your way back and just crash in the bed, hope you go to sleep so you don't feel the pain and the suffering anymore, and then you'd wake up again and the whole cycle would basically start over again, and I would beg God, please don't let me wake up, just take me. But I guess I was meant to be on
you're
this mission
here.
And purpose so that I can share with other people. Because, you know, theory is good. You can read about theory. But until you've lived something, you really don't understand what it's like for someone to be in that position. And I feel if you want success in any area of your life, the best thing to do is to find someone that's been through it and see what makes sense out of what they've done. You don't have to do everything they've done, but at least, you know, follow some of the things, and that gives you a head start so that you can get on the path.
That's
and follow their breadcrumbs.
Right. Well, while we're on Crohn's,
How did you heal yourself? It wasn't through medication, was it?
No, except for one antibiotic did end up helping me. But the traditional route of medicines that the doctors were using were not helping, and I was on this downward spiral, feel okay, then have to take more medicine, feel okay, and so on and so forth, because they don't get to the root causes. It's just like the pain medicine epidemic now. All it does is mask the pain, and you have people addicted to pain medicine, but their pain has not gone away because you don't address the actual root causes. And then they finally came up with a new method. It's very common now to use it, but back then it was a new method to treat Crohn's by shutting off my immune system with an immunosuppressive drug, basically like a chemotherapy agent. And they had to warn me that the side effect could be that I could get a cold that could turn into a deadly case of pneumonia because I'd have no defense mechanism.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm already on a death path here. I don't need any help. Coupled with, he sent me to an expert in, I said that with quotes, in New York City, because God bless the doctor I had. He really wanted to make sure that I was okay because I was very frail at the time. Mm-hmm. And was this an okay medicine to put me on, or was it going to just put me over the edge, like the, you know, the warning said about the side effects? And it was just, a long story short, it was just not a pleasant experience, and it really shook me up. And I'm glad it did. Sometimes you need to shake your head up above the water. You know, you don't even realize you're under the water until something shakes you, and then you put your head above water and say, like, wait a minute, where am I? What's going on here? And the thought came to me, I like to say it was a divine thought, that it was like a puzzle that just needed to be solved. There wasn't any one thing that got me sick. It was a combination of things that came together like a perfect storm or a puzzle. Same had to be true for getting well. And if I could find the right pieces, then I could heal myself, and I didn't believe it was incurable anymore. There had to be a way back.
Right.
And then I was introduced to Dr. Robert Atkins. He had a clinic in New York City, you know, the Atkins. And he had a complementary health center there.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's closed since he passed away. But they taught me the dietary things, how to stop feeding the yeast and candida that was causing the inflammation in my body. It's basically eating like how our grandmothers or great-grandmothers cooked, everything from scratch. Which is hard when you work full-time. That was their full-time, you know, thing to do. So I would be really good during the week. I think I'm German. I'm very regimented. My mother taught me that. But then on the weekends, I would just let it go. So I was like this all or nothing. And then I realized, because I kept self-sabotaging myself, it was coming from my thoughts, my emotions, and my spirit, you know, the mind, body, and the mind, emotional, and spiritual aspects. And I had to work on that. And so I started on a self-improvement journey, kind of got all my pieces together, and then just sort of fell apart, another self-sabotage, I guess, until my late husband came along, and he helped me kind of, it was his unconditional love that gelled my pieces together, like 1 + 1 = 3, and his belief kind of helped pick me up, because it's exhausting doing something like that all on your own, so that was a blessing, but then I guess he accomplished his mission, crossed over. And it was just part of my journey so that I can connect with more people for different challenges that they're going through in life.
You know what you had said earlier about no knowledge about, you know, being there and having done that. We find it, NAMI, it's very helpful. When we teach classes, it's always the teachers are always people who have someone either in their family or, you know, been involved with some, you know, sister, brother, son, daughter, mother, father, who have mental illness, and they've been dealing with it. It's the same thing with support groups. We run a support group, and my wife and I are two of the people that run it, and there's others, but we have four kids, and our youngest son is paranoid schizophrenic.
Oh, wow.
So thank God he's doing very well right now. He's been in his own apartment for 7 years.
That's great.
And he's had a job for over 3 years at BJ's, and you know, he takes his meds religiously because he's been on meds since he's five, because he's been epileptic since he's five. So anyway, but being there, you can talk to people and say, yeah, I was there. I remember we did this.
Right.
You might want to try that or whatever, you know.
It really makes a difference.
It does.
And it gives people more confidence when they know you've actually been
exactly.
through it and
right,
this
right.
stuff really works. It's just not theory.
It's not theory.
You know? And it's helped me be a better physical therapist going through these because I know what it's like not to feel good and not to have energy and to be in pain.
Exactly.
So I can relate to them better and I can help motivate them differently than someone else that hasn't.
Right.
Because people that haven't, usually they just say, just do it because they don't know how, because they can't relate.
Yeah, they can't
no
relate
offense to
it.
Them, but they just can't relate, and they
right.
don't know
they
how
can't
to,
relate to it,
you
and,
know, overcome yeah. their objections because they haven't right. been there. All they know is how to say, well, you just do it.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, easier
you
said than
the,
done.
I just took the words out of my mouth. Right?
Very easier
Simple,
said than
but
done.
Simple, but not always easy.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, but like a lot of times, you know, people say this, this, and this, and we'll say, did you try this? No, I haven't. Well, try. I'm not saying it's going to work.
Right.
But try it, because we tried it and it was halfway successful for us.
Right.
So, you know, why don't you try it and see what mm-hmm. happens and let us know next time, what, you know. But, you know, like
and
you
that,
said.
That brings up another point I just thought of. Like, I went through so much trial and error to figure out what worked for me and what didn't that I have a better handle.
Mm-hmm.
To help it, like you just said.
Right.
And maybe something that didn't work for me could work for them, but I have this right. knowledge base of all these different things, so I kind of already did all, like, the research, if
right.
you will, in a way.
And right.
not that I know everything, but I know a lot of pieces, and have a lot of resources, and save people so much time and effort
yep.
To do it themselves. And yep. a lot of times people won't because it's too overwhelming. Now we have too many choices. Back then, I had nothing because I didn't have the internet, so it took a lot to do. But now there's so much, and they've done studies too, that if we give too many choices or too many options for people, it just kind of short circuits the mind, and then
right.
they end up doing nothing because
right.
they don't know which direction to go because they're so afraid
mm-hmm.
of making the wrong decision.
Right.
So it helps to have a mentor or a coach
sure.
or a support
sure.
person that can help guide them
right.
through the process.
Right.
Right. And give limited number of choices.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you, looking back on your life, what are some lessons that you feel like you've learned for sure, what you know for sure?
That it's part of our journey to have difficulty in our lives. I think if everything was, if we came in here and everything was honky-dory, there'd be no reason for us to really be here. I feel it's meant for us to learn and grow and to help others learn and grow, that that's just part of the experience of being human and to learning how strong we are, because sometimes we don't know.
We don't realize sometimes how strong we are.
And how capable we are. You know, people tell me, I could never go through what you went through. Well, I would have said the same thing to someone before I had gone through it.
Right.
You don't know until you're forced into, you know, you have to make a choice. And I wanted to take the high road. I got tired of living in the mud, so to speak. I
and
wanted
some people
to climb
don't
want to
climb out.
And that's okay.
And,
that's
you know, if that's
want.
What they want to do, then that's what they do, you know?
A lot of times they don't realize that they
right.
want it. They just don't know how to get out of it, and they don't want to be defeated anymore. They don't want to be hurt anymore. It's a protective mechanism, I
mm-hmm.
found. Because I feel everybody wants to shine their radiant light in the world. I feel like it, and
but, you know,
significant,
it seems like
really
a lot of times
difference.
After a period of time, they get tired of being down there.
Hopefully.
You, know,
you
hopefully,
get to a point
yeah.
where, like, this and no
yeah,
further. And
right,
that's how I
exactly.
got with the self-sabotage.
Exactly.
I climbing up the mountain, and I let myself slide down. And
right.
finally, I was just like, no. No more. If I'm not going to go to the other side, if God's not going to take me, I'm not living like this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. because I've been living like this too long, and I just can't do it anymore. So I have to do something different in order to, you know, survive this.
Yeah.
And I talked to a lot of people about how we're supposed to be the hero and heroine of our own journeys, not the victim. But we've been taught that we're the victim in the story, and that the hero and heroine is just for those few people that we see maybe on TV or in sports. But what they don't realize, it's like a house of cards, they have problems too.
Sure.
They may be successful in one area of their life, but other areas of their life, they may be a total mess. So, you know, it's like you can't just look at the illusion of the outside. Everybody has their challenges. And
yeah.
I was guilty, too. I would think, oh, I wish I could be that person. But we're here to be who we are and to be the best of who we are, and we have ways to do that if we so choose to reach out for help.
And many stars, both musicians and actors and actresses, singers, have come out
mm-hmm.
with their mental health issues.
Right.
Bruce Springsteen just came out not recently.
Oh, really?
After he wrote a song, Depression, and sang it, and then he came out and talked about his depression. Demi Lovato,
mm-hmm.
she came out, and she used to stay up 3-4 nights all day, all night, writing songs and thought that was normal.
Right.
And now she is a big spokesman for NAMI and goes
That's
to the
great.
Conferences and speaks to the, you know, national conferences and stuff. So more and more people who come out, Dolly Parton has come out and
right.
talked about her, you know, mental health issues. So more and more people that like that that come out
gives people more hope.
Help
and
the
like,
normal people.
Yeah.
You know?
So if they need help, then I.
Yeah.
And it gives them hope.
Right. Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And that's so important because so many people didn't get the help, and they were almost encouraged to stay in that mental health loop because, mm-hmm. like John Belushi.
Right.
Because that was his creative spark. So they just kept feeding him all those drugs and stuff so
right.
he could be their money-making machine or whatever.
Sure.
And so he unfortunately didn't get the help that he needed
right.
for you know, the struggles he was going through. So
right.
it's great that these people that are you know famous and in, mm-hmm. you know, in public eye
yeah.
are doing that to help people.
Right.
It's great.
And like
right.
you said, we're sort of conditioned to hide our emotions
yes.
or suppress them and, oh, you shouldn't be angry.
Yeah, I'm fine, right? How many times do you ask someone, how are you? I'm fine.
And you know.
Yeah.
You know they're not fine.
Right.
Of course. You know.
Right.
But
right.
a lot of times they don't want to. First of all, they may not want to talk about it.
Right.
You know.
Shame, embarrassment, whatever the story
they
is.
They don't want to bring anyone else down.
Right.
So they just keep
well,
hiding
I know,
their own pain.
I know when my son had his first attempted suicide, then it's his second attempted suicide, and he wound up in Trenton Psych for almost 20 months, and they transferred him to Hagedorn for another almost a year, 11 and a half months. For the first 6 years of his illness, I wouldn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
My wife would want to talk about it. I'd go outside and, you know, get in a car
Chop
and go down to, you know, I'd go down to the coffee shop and get coffee, and or I'd go in the other room and read a book.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, she drugged me, literally, one day to intensive family support services at the hospital. And a woman is long since retired now, but she taught me how to talk about it.
That's great.
And, you know, and everybody has their own way of doing it.
Right.
And my way was, this may sound a little morbid, but I had a funeral in my head.
Mm.
I had a son and he died and I could picture him in the coffin in my head.
Wow.
Now I have another son and he has mental illness. And I love him dearly. I always did. Through the first 6 years, I wouldn't talk about it, but
right.
I would have done anything.
That was your way of dealing
with
it emotionally.
That was my way of dealing
with the loss.
Right. And, you know, but now we talk and, mm-hmm. you know, it's, well, I've been doing this for, you know, since then.
You know. Did you have any guilt at all that you felt responsible since you were part of creating him? Like, did that play
no,
a part
that,
at all
No,
for you?
That didn't, no, no,
okay.
no that
Sometimes
didn't.
It can for people.
But
not,
you felt,
not for me.
You felt guilty, you said, which I
A little bit.
I
mean, I think there was yeah. some guilt, because with both of them, there were things you always think, could I have done differently?
Well, yeah, you have that.
You know, but
I mean,
I don't
yeah.
think I beat myself up on a daily basis over it, but I think that was part of the stress mm-hmm. and the trauma, too, the
right.
post-traumatic stress, you know, of being able to deal with it, that I there were some emotions I think I dealt with, and then others maybe I wasn't, and and it showed up as I couldn't go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just
right.
couldn't wind
right.
down.
Right. Right.
You know, make quiet, because then it really became real and intense when there was no other stimuli, I guess, coming
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I had the healing with the medium. I guess just hearing it reassured me that he's okay and everything's all, and that I'm not to blame, and just I guess
right.
helped me to release that and to let go of any of those lingering emotions, and I was able to calm myself enough to go to sleep and not need the medicine anymore, which was really cool.
Right.
I didn't know
right.
that was going to be a side effect of
yeah.
this. You don't know what's going to
no.
work for you.
Right, exactly. You know, and what works for some that person may not work for this person,
right,
you know.
Like we said before.
Right.
You got to find the pieces that
right.
work for you. But it helps to have someone that can guide you. Otherwise, you can get really lost. Because for me, especially with healing from the Crohn's, because everybody said it was incurable, so I had nothing to go by. It was like me saying, I'm going to go from Flemington to L.A., and all I know is that it's west. How long you think it would take me to get there? And maybe I might not even end up there, right? You know?
Right.
Depending on if I have a compass or what I, you know, what tools
right.
I have along the way. So now I have at least some better navigational things, if you mm-hmm. will, to help guide people
right.
along there. And they may take different routes, but
right.
you know, you'll get there.
So when you talk about being a radiant life coach, do you help people who are grieving or what kind
yes.
of?
As well as other things. But, yeah, I take them through the process of what they need to do to nourish themselves physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and find where they're at. You know, where do we need to
mm-hmm.
take them? And then we can, you know, path that
right.
route to see what's going
right.
to help them get to where they need to be.
We have to take a quick break listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a minute or two.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, we're back with Mental Health Matters and Barbara Steingass, who is an author, a Radiant Life Coach, and we were talking about losses, how she helps other people. Barbara, during the break, you said that you have some spiritual strategies for people.
Right, I can give a sampling because I did the other one, so I thought it'd be a good idea to just touch upon some of the spiritual strategies that I use to help myself and others. And the two I picked, the first I feel is forgiveness. That's a big one. You know, when we go through a lot of, a lot of people go through trauma in life. People have done things to them that are not, copacetic, let's say, or kosher. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness is not to forgive the act, but to forgive that person is a damaged person. Or hurt. I like to look at people as we're all hurting children. We either react out of love or fear. And when we're in fear mode, we're that hurt little kid. And unfortunately, some kids have learned some pretty dysfunctional strategies to cope with life, and then they put that on other people. So it's not to, forgive the act that helped that hurt you, but forgiveness is also for ourselves. It's kind of like a cancer that eats us away if we hold anger and ill will towards others. It doesn't mean we have to like everything that someone does, not to Pollyanna things, but to let go of that anger and that those things, because you're really just tearing yourself apart. And it's important to forgive ourselves, too, because I used to beat myself up a lot. Like, oh, I'm not perfect. I thought I had to be perfect. That's why I was this all or nothing. You know, if I did one thing wrong, oh, then you must suck. You know, yeah, so you have to just be all bad.
Just
then,
invalidate
yourself. And so I had to learn that balance that it's okay. It's not about perfection in life, because I feel we're all imperfectly perfect, if you will. It's about finding that comfort zone of that lifestyle that you can live, that you can be, do pretty automatically. Because, sometimes in the beginning it's hard. It was hard for me to create the habit of, nourishing myself in all those areas. But once you get, used to it, it becomes a new routine, it actually is pretty easy to follow.
Right.
So that's a big thing I found is forgiveness, is to forgive yourself if you're not perfect, because we're not meant to be perfect. I like to think of the little kid in us. You know, if you wouldn't talk to another little kid that way, why would you talk to your little self that way? And I find myself doing it, this thing like, oh, you're so stupid. Ah, and I'll catch myself. No, that's not how I wouldn't tell another child that. So not to
right,
tell, you
right.
know, and to talk kinder and be kinder to myself. So that's a big key that helped me heal. And I feel gratitude is so important, too. It can help you hang by a thread when it seems like everything else is gone. You know, when you're at your last rope there, there's always something I've been taught and I found and I tried it and it is true to be thankful for it. No matter how bad or dark a situation looks, there's something to be grateful for. And it's kind of like the saying, when God closes a door, he opens a window.
Right.
But we can only see that big door in front of our face unless we take a little step back and peek around. Even if it's way, way in the distance, there may be that little spark of light that can keep you holding on, you know. So whether it be, you know, you had something nice happen to you at Christmas 1 year or something,
right.
or whatever it is, there's something that you can hang on to, whether it's in the past or present, to be grateful for, and I find that that can help keep us going no matter how bad something gets.
Can you, if someone wanted to get a hold of you or look up your, I don't know if you have a Facebook page or,
mm-hmm.
Could you give that information?
Sure. So my website is easy. It's my name, BarbaraSteingast.com. I'll spell the last name for you. S as in Sam, T-E-I-N-G-A-S. Again, as in Sam. So BarbaraSteingast.com. My email is Barbara@BarbaraSteingast.com. My number is 908-391-4463. You can find me on Facebook as Barbara Steingast. I have a Barbara Wall Steingast. That's my personal page. And that's my maiden name, Wall. I did that so my high school friends could find me. But my business
right.
page is Barbara Steingast.
And you have an office?
I work out of a couple different places,
oh, okay.
and I also do home visits.
Okay.
But I can work out of an office here in Flemington above the that sneaker place across from Kohl's.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know
what
you're talking about.
I don't have the address embedded in my
memory. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
It's on the second floor. Best Talents, they let me use their office. But it's across from Kohl's where that sneaker factory is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a couple of friends that have healing centers. I have one client that lives up in like Montclair area.
Uh-huh.
I have a friend that owns a healing center in Verona. So we use
okay.
her space when I see her. So, you know, within reason, I'm willing to travel.
Sure.
And I have a
sure.
lot of resources. So I know a lot of people that have healing spaces that I can use as needed. Or sometimes people just come to my house if I feel comfortable and if they feel comfortable.
Is there anything in the last 2 minutes that you would like to put out there?
Well, I just thank you guys again, Larry and Tracy, for having me on the show. And I just have a passion to help people. I know I've been there. Maybe I have different reasons than you for being in that dark space, but I've been there and I know how to get out of it. And I just have a passion to help people.
And it's pretty obvious.
No,
it comes out.
Right.
You know?
And you're a motivational speaker, too. You're
yes.
available. For any company or...
Yes, absolutely.
Place.
I do workshops. I do speaking. Yeah. I speak on different topics depending, and I can tailor the talk as well depending on what audience I'm speaking
uh-huh.
to, because, you know, different people need different things.
Right.
So I don't have like
right.
a cookie cutter thing,
no.
but I have a basic, you know, format
right.
that I
right.
use to help people and that I speak about.
And when you say you're a spiritual healer, what does that involve?
Well, I use these techniques too. You have to look at all four quadrants, but mainly I have a lot of techniques that help release pain in the body. Because
okay.
most people have pain because of the soft tissue, and that will affect the joints, the nerves, and we also hold emotions. So when you work on somebody on soft tissue, you're not just working physically. You can unlock some of those emotions and some of those traumas that get stuck in the body. So I use a lot of techniques I learned from my physical therapy training and also through my healing journey. So I'm Reiki 2 certified. I do a chakra balancing.
Mm-hmm.
I do cranial sacral release, some soft tissue work. You know, I have a Renaissance woman. I have a lot
in my... So when you say soft tissue, do you mean massage then?
Cranial sacral? Well, it's a form of massage. Okay. There's different techniques that you use for different, you know, there's myofascial release. There's what's called transfer friction massage to help with, like, tendons. So there's a lot of different techniques. But, again, most of them go deeper than just a physical level to help release the pain. Emotionally and physically.
Okay.
Real quickly, what'd you say? Reiki?
Reiki. I think Tracy
too
knows
also.
What that is. It's an energy form.
I'm way too old to know what that is.
It's an energy form of just, you know, sending healing to someone through our hands, because our hands are an extension of our heart.
Okay.
You know, our heart chakra. So we can impart, like, with intention. And what, like, have you ever gone, like, put your hands back and forth and you feel like an energy build up between the hands?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like that, and you just focus positive to them.
Okay.
Because, like, pets, they can tell if you like them or they don't like them,
right? Right.
Based on your energy. You they don't, even if you say it, they don't really know your words,
right,
but they know your energy. It's kind of like that. It's not, I don't have all the scientific words
right
now to say, but it has been scientifically proven that, you know, our energy extends beyond our body. And when we are thinking positive thoughts, that has an energy form, waveform, versus negative. And people can pick up on that. Plants can pick up on that.
Right.
They've done studies. So that's what I'm talking about.
Just okay.
Sending good positive energy to someone.
Well, we thank you, Barbara, for coming. And you'll have to come back.
Oh, I would love to.
Because
thank
you. You know, it's been a wonderful hour. And it's gone too fast.
Yeah, it did go fast.
I think we have another minute for you to give your contact information, too, before we sign off.
Yes, you could do it again.
Okay. So the website is barbarasteingast.com. The email is barbara@barbarasteingast.com. I'm on Facebook as Barbara Steingast. As my personal is different from my business. So the business is Barbara Steingast. And my number is 908-391-4463.
And Steingast is Steingas.
Correct.
Right. And her latest book is Solving the Grief and Loss Puzzle, Piecing Together Your New Normal Life, if anybody wants to tune into that.
And we thank you again for coming.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you guys so much.
And
I appreciate it.
You all enjoy the 4th of July. Have a good 4th of July, even though supposedly it's supposed to rain. Enjoy it anyway. We'll see you next week, same time, same station. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Speaking at the White House earlier today, President Trump speaks about a conversation he had with the new president of Mexico.
And I will say that I just spoke with the president-elect of Mexico. We had a great conversation, about a half an hour long. We talked about border security. We talked about trade. We talked about NAFTA. We talked about a separate deal, just Mexico and the United States. We had a lot of good conversation. I think the relationship would be a very good one. We'll see what happens, but I really do believe it's going to be a very good one. He had a very excellent election, did, I would say, even better than anticipated. I told him a number of years ago when I saw him campaigning for a different race, frankly, a different year, a different race, I said he's going to be the president of Mexico. He remembered that.
The president also said he met with four people who he may nominate for the Supreme Court today. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Consumer spending on tourist attractions skyrocketed up 22% last summer compared to the previous year. International travel expert Lee Abamonte shares tips for maximizing financial rewards this summer.
With the right credit card, these adventures can also earn rewards for your wallet. My favorite is Bank of America's Premium Rewards credit card. I earn 2 points for every dollar I spend on dining and travel activities like amusement parks and aquariums. If you're enrolled in the Bank of America Preferred Rewards program, you earn an additional 25 to 75% in bonus points on every purchase, which could add up to 3.5 points per dollar on every travel and dining purchase. Also, During the first full weekend of every month, Bank of America cardholders, including premium rewards, receive free general admission to more than 200 cultural attractions through Bank of America's Museums on Us program, making your card the perfect companion for summer fun.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getmorerewards.
Could a second Trump-Kim summit already be in the works? Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Amid reports, there are signs indicating the North is continuing its weapons programs. National Security Advisor John Bolton says on Sunday,
"We're going to try and proceed to implement what the two leaders agreed to in Singapore."
Now there are reports President Trump may hold another meeting with North Korea's Kim Jong-un, this time in New York City. The news website Axios quotes unnamed U.S. officials as saying Trump may offer Kim the meeting in the Big Apple as a reward for moving to denuclearize. The report goes on to say the meeting in Trump's hometown could happen in September during the UN General Assembly.
Halo Top, the ice cream that averages between 280 and 360 calories per pint, is defending itself against allegations that it's skimping on its pints. Halo is being sued by consumers who say they're not getting a full pint of ice cream. Meanwhile, the company says they would never purposely underfill their pints. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else.